Journalist Seymour Hersh writes in the new issue of The New Yorker about Pakistan's nuclear warheads, perhaps 24 of them. They can be put on missiles, they can be delivered by F-16 fighter jets, and they could be viewed as a threat to the region, especially if they should come under the control of fundamentalist forces in Pakistan.
There's a number of nightmare scenarios, and obviously, and I should say that the biggest fear they have is that Pakistan is not a fundamental state. The fundamentalists are a small minority. Musharraf could be easily overthrown, but it would be overthrown by another secular, that is non-religious, sort of another general from the Punjab, the more. He's a minority figure in his own country in terms of his caste and where he comes from. The Punjabis really run the military. 90% of them are military. He's not a Punjabi. So that's one possibility. What's more frightening is that a group of fundamentalists could break off with access to a warhead or two and an airplane or two or a missile system and then put us in a terrible bind, make threats, tell us to stand down our war against the Taliban or else, and or else would be throwing a bomb at the hated India.
Well, if they did that, let's talk about, they used to talk about mutual assured destruction with the Soviet Union. That would be guaranteed destruction for Pakistan if they went after India.
Well, but if a dissident group of fundamentalists who we know we have some reason to believe life, you know, I hate to say this, some of them may understand they're committing suicide, and we've seen that happen. It's something I couldn't have said 2 months ago with much credibility, but if a group of people decided to commit suicide, you don't want them to have the warhead, and that's the problem. That's one of the fears. Things can very easily get out of control.
You write about an elite Pentagon unit trained to go into Pakistan, sounds like a movie, to find nuclear weapons and disarm them, and they have recently been helped by people from Israel who have come here to help train them.
Yes, the Israelis have had a tremendously elite counterterror unit. You know, it's the one that was very famous in 1976. There was a hijacked plane in the Entebbe airfield in Uganda, and they stormed it, and they got everybody out except one or two. It was a great coup for anti-terrorism. And this unit, some elements of this unit, I have been training, I understand, since a few weeks after September the 11th. They've been training our special forces, some of our units, and it's very, very hush-hush, as it should be. Operationally, I can't begin to tell anything about it, but they've been training in the art of going into countries undercover and making sure, A, there aren't weapons where we think there shouldn't be, and B, if there are, defusing them. There's two problems with this. One, of course, as somebody said to me, if it gets to that point where they have to go into Pakistan, and there is training for Pakistan, contingency programs being written, believe me, Hersh, somebody said, the Indians are going to be there first. Indians are, they're very capable of this sort of commando business too. And secondly, the problem is that we really don't have the kind of intelligence we used to have about Pakistan. If you remember, during the Gulf War, Saddam Hussein had Scud missiles, and we sent special forces in to get him. Well, it turned out after the war that almost everyone we thought we had was a papier-mâché missile. We were conned. And so there's the same sort of fear going on now. So how can you send in an undercover team that once exposed, that if caught, would be killed because they would be viewed as spies? How can you send them in unless you really have the right intelligence? And we don't seem to have it.
Let me dampen this just a bit with some of your own writing. You quote a senior administration planner who tells you about General Musharraf. He has put the hardliners in a box and locked it. He didn't trust some people. He's had them reassigned or fired. These presumably would be people who would be loyal to the Taliban here.
Yes. The problem with this approach is that the idea that you can behead the intelligence service of Pakistan, which is very fundamental, it's called the ISI, it's very fundamental, it's very pro-Taliban. They helped set up the Taliban. I don't think anybody in that White House understood the extent to which here 3.5 weeks later, Musharraf's in grave danger. There's much more civil unrest inside Pakistan. The chances of serious disaffections, I also write that a couple of members of the Pakistani Atomic Energy Commission, which when I knew about that group in the 80s, was the most nationalistic, fervent, loyal, dedicated scientists dedicated to making a bomb for their country. Some of these people, now we know, have worked very closely with the Taliban. In other words, and this is very crucial, the notion of loyalty to the state is superseded by loyalty to religion, the fundamentalist.
Thank you, Mr. Hersh.
Thank you.
Seymour Hersh, his article, Watching the Warheads, is in the November 5th issue of The New Yorker.